Welcome to Horror Makes Us Happy, the podcast where we ask the question, what is it about horror that makes us happy? Your hosts are Steve Becker and myself, Chris Whitman, and you can find out more about us at our website, horrormakesushappy.com.
I feel happy.
I feel happy.
You're not fooling anyone.
Go for a walk. But before I go for a walk, this is the trigger warning. This is a horror podcast, if you didn't know. We talk about dark stuff, and we could talk about some sensitive subjects that could include things such as child abuse, rape, murder, F-bombs. There will be bad things on this show. That's why we're here. But we're also here to talk about interesting things, like why these things intrigue people and what draws people to the horror stuff. But before I go off on yet another tangent, that's the trigger warning out of the way. Steve, what's going on? What do we got?
Well, actually, yesterday I redid our Patreon subscriber levels. We had a number of them, but I simplified them down to three. And there is now a free option, which basically allows you just to sign up with us and basically keep tabs on what we're doing. So the question is digging to the heart of why people love horror important to you? And if so, please consider supporting us on Patreon. As I just said, we now have a supporter free tier that's free. And if free isn't good enough to you, I don't know what to say. So, but you're welcome to reach out to us on social media and let us know if there's some other benefits that you would like to see other than the three tiers that we already have. There's a link on our website to our Discord server, and Twitch, and Patreon, and all that kind of fun stuff. In terms of our guest list, we are still at 10 plus. Amusingly, I think we've had four of the last five guests have rescheduled. They're still on the calendar, but they had different things come up, so we've had to move them around. So we're still 10 plus. But today we are talking to Ms. N.J. Gallegos, who is an author best known for her books Full Moon Rising, Only You Can Prevent Forest Fires, and The Broken Heart. Welcome. How are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. Before we get into the actual interview, do you want to let us know what you're currently working on or let the listeners know?
Absolutely. So I'm working on what would be my second novel called The Fatal Mind, in which a neurologist has invented these migraine chips that like inhibit the impulses related to migraines. So it like cures them. But also inhibits some impulse control and things. So as you can imagine, that doesn't go well.
Oops.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Black Mirror meets Frankenstein kind of. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what I'm working on. Also working on beating all of the Star Wars Lego Skywalker saga with my wife. So that's a big thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I figure maybe I should say this for the benefit of the listeners. We had some technical difficulties. We actually already fully interviewed Ms. Gallegos a couple weeks ago, and there were some technical difficulties that I didn't pick up on. I went to hit record, and I guess the system didn't like what it was seeing, so it did actually start recording, but we have made sure that we are now recording. But there may be references
pause.
To yeah
there the might pause be when you said all right I'm gonna stop recording at the end of that episode was it's still priceless.
it was
all right, I'm gonna stop.
Shit. I probably dropped the f-bomb on that one because that was
probably
I'm pretty sure I heard your soul leave your body and honestly that was worth it for me.
Oh man. I mean, we've had flubs before, but never to the point where it like went the entire length of the interview and then caught it. Anyway. So there may be times where when we're talking, we refer, oh yeah, I remember asking that question before, or I remember this answer before. So that would be why. but starting off, since you're already familiar with the theme and how we do this, what are some of your earliest memories of scary things?
So growing up, I grew up on a cattle ranch where there was like very minimal parental supervision, which is very important. So, you know, I would just walk around with my cousins and we would see dead animals all the time, poke them with sticks, as you do, you know, as you do. So that was the probably the biggest thing, but My mom has always been an absolute horror movie fiend. So she introduced me quite early to scary movies.
Hmm. Hey, come off the top of your head as to which ones you remember?
Definitely the Alien, Aliens movies, but one of the big ones was The Exorcist. Yeah. She's like, you're 5 years old. You can watch The Exorcist, right? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, it'll be fine.
I am ashamed to admit I had not watched The Exorcist until I was fully an adult, maybe in the last 5 years or so. And it still never ceases to amaze me how many parents think it's okay to let a kid watch The Exorcist because of the goddamn crucifix scene. Like,
I was just thinking alone. About that.
Yeah.
Kids should not watch that. I don't think it's appropriate for a child to hear "let Jesus fuck you" while a girl is stabbing herself in the crotch with a crucifix. That's a little much for children.
Yeah, I mean, at least like 17 plus, maybe. Then you're more equipped to handle that.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Mommy, what is she doing with the crucifix?" She's like, "It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Tell you when you're older."
Yeah.
No discredit to your mom, by the way. She is still awesome for getting you introduced to horror at a young age.
But yeah, no, it was not a great idea, but it's fine.
I'm just shaking my head. I don't know what else to say. Anything else to put to you?
Probably the movie that absolutely traumatized me the most isn't even a horror movie, I would say. It's probably more of a thriller.
Okay.
An Eye for an Eye. Sally Field, who in any movie is just amazing, but essentially she's on the phone with like her teenage daughter and it's like her 17th birthday or something. And so they're like delivering all this stuff to her house. And this guy delivers the ice sculpture. And then while Sally Field's on the phone with her daughter, he like rapes her and kills her. And then the rest of the movie is like Sally Field getting vengeance on this guy.
Right.
And I just recall it being like the first time I ever had such a like sense of like justice. Like I'm probably, I don't know, like 7 or something. I'm not supposed to be watching this movie. I'm watching it like behind the couch where my grandparents are. And I was just like, yeah, fucking get him. Yeah.
So Exorcist at 5, this at 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Everything was like, and honestly though, like the movies that messed me up the most are ones that aren't even like horror movies, like E.T., like the glowing finger and the chest thing. Like,
E.T. was creepy. Like,
he's very creepy.
I don't know why, but looking back on it, yeah, I think it was just a Spielberg thing. He just has a certain tone, and you know, even the soundtrack of his movies, there are certain scenes that are just really creepy.
Yeah, and his voice, E.T. phone home. Mm-hmm. I might have practiced that in the shower earlier. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. I'm still going back to The Exorcist and Eye for an Eye. I'm like, what the fuck was your mom thinking?
Yeah, I really don't know. Honestly,
same, you know, I think her mind was probably on the same track as mine when I exposed my, I think, 8-year-old cousin to a marathon of Alien, Predator, and then maybe Aliens. Not thinking about the whole thing. I can still remember the shock on my grandmother's face when a dude in Predators was like just spouting joke after joke of just inappropriate genital humor. Like, you know, the GC got a big pussy.
That's not the same as masturbation and a rape. I mean,
right. I'm saying, point I'm getting to is, I just wanted to watch these movies and totally didn't think about the fact that there were curse words and inappropriate mentions in it, and until we got to that point. So yeah, maybe she just didn't think about it. She's just like, these movies are cool. I want to watch
when
them.
When we interviewed Jeremiah Rosario and he was watching, what was it? The one with the nuns, with the poison vaginas.
Ninja Scroll.
Yes.
Did you say poisoned vaginas?
Yes. She had a poisoned vagina. That was her thing. You know, it was a ninja movie. It was an anime, and they all had superhuman abilities. Hers was, if a man were to sleep with her, he would die.
Damn.
Yeah. So the story that he shared with us was that he had rented this from a movie, like a VHS place, not knowing what it was. And then he's watching it there with his grandmother.
Oh boy.
That's a good movie.
Like, there's a number of different ways you could carve up our episodes, but if you'd like, you wanted to rank the funniest episodes, that would probably be in the top three. Him and Paul and Ashley, just Ott and Harry Horror were like probably top three funniest episodes. But yeah, he was watching that episode with, or that movie with his grandmother in the background. Anyway,
I can't imagine that went well. Although I must say,
actually, it turned out she was a horror fan, and so it turned out not to be that bad. But he was sweating bullets because he didn't know that at the time.
just the occasional glance over, like, "See, you cool with this?" I mean, okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, looking back, I think that this is like a generational issue because my grandma used to leave these like true crime magazines out that were like extremely graphic and like they'd have pictures and stuff. And I would just read them, you know, take one to the shitter and I'd be like, oh, yeah. All right. So
he made a belt out of nipples, huh?
I'm going to have to look into that. Yeah, that sounds nice.
Yeah, right. Let's start with aliens. What was your reaction to that? Or anything, any particular scenes jump out to you as memorable?
Jump out.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Ba-doom-pish.
Ironically enough, the chest burster scene in the original Alien, where they're all just having spaghetti, having a great time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like that happens because, you know, I didn't know what was going to go down on this Alien movie because I'd watched like cartoon alien stuff, you know, like kind of fun aliens. And then this happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit. And then it also kind of put me off on spaghetti. Cause I was like, I don't know if this is like a spaghetti problem.
Oh, yeah, right.
But turned out it was more of a face hugger problem. So spaghetti's back on the menu. Thank God. But
it's like, it's like the satire of it. And I think it was Spaceballs. And the guy had the special.
Yes. Kind of
puts you off spaghetti, you know? I'm not going to have the special now.
I will not be having that.
Yes.
And the eggs also just really freak me out because they kind of have that like squelching noise when they open. Ugh, I don't know. Those are probably the big ones. And then the scene in Aliens, obviously, where Ripley's in the loader and the most iconic line in all of cinema, "Get away from her, you bitch." Bam. Bitch. Ugh. Mm-hmm. You probably don't know this, but I have a yellow Bronco that's like the same color as that loader that I have named Ripley. Yeah.
Nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you mentioned having a wife, obviously, and then mentioning aliens, I'm like, okay, so you know, the thing inherited in the loader. Yes.
Yeah.
Par for the course.
Nope. Yeah. Ripley made me gay. Ripley made me gay.
It was the small panties. It was the teeny tiny panties.
It was. I was like, oh my.
I just rewatched Alien again the other day, and it still baffles me. I mean, I'm not complaining, but like, goddamn, dude, did you guys just find a napkin? And you're like, this is your wardrobe. There you go.
Well, I read somewhere, too, that she didn't shave her like pubic hair, so they had to spend this like obscene amount of money editing it out.
Nah, really?
I read that somewhere.
That's
yeah.
So funny.
I mean, if you think about it, if you're trapped on a ship, maybe even being in stasis for how many months?
Right. They're essentially space truckers. Like, she would have a bush.
Oh, totally.
Anyway, I'm sure you can only imagine how many, for lack of a better word, we'll use the word compliments she's probably gotten over the years from, people of both sexes, really.
Yeah. all walks of life.
Yes. What do you remember about The Exorcist?
The crab walk is the big thing that freaks me out. Yeah. Which is probably why I've never been flexible. I'm like, I'm not going to stretch or do anything that could potentially cause me to contort my body because I don't need to let the devil in me like that.
Interesting. I've never thought of
it. I see this movie. As,
yeah. No, I want my joints to be stiffer than shit. Like, I do not want to bend.
I'll trade you. I'm now having arthritis. I'll trade you.
All right.
I'll take your stiff joints and trade you this. Yeah, the crucifix one didn't bother me as much for whatever reason. The split pea soup vomit did get me. I'm not a big fan of vomit. despite being a doctor, like the second somebody throws up, I'm like, all right, we need to get the nurse. I need to go. Bye.
Not my problem.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm. It's the smell.
It's just, yeah. Well, not a big fan of turds either, to be honest with you.
I was going to say no one is, but...
Have you met the Germans?
Have you seen the internet?
Yeah. Yeah. Like...
And for the benefit of those listening, I know you have shared in the past a whole webpage full of things that have been pulled out of rectal areas. So there's that.
Fun.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like uniquely made to pull rectal foreign bodies out because I have like very tiny hands and I can kind of contort them a little bit. And like I have decent grip strength. Like it's like that was like my life's mission is just to pull things
and I'm over here chuckling for a different reason because I'm just picturing the situation in the hospital, like in the OR, like, God damn it, we got another blockage. NJ!
NJ,
we need your tiny hands. No! Not again. You get just I don't know, get some tongs.
I'm busy.
Flip side, she's happy to do it.
Oh, there's something about, you know, just like wearing a man as a Muppet that just gives you supreme power.
Good one. That's
yeah. Thank you.
Wearing a man as a Muppet. I like it.
Yeah. There's something about it. Like I went through all of this training just so I could be able to like do that and get paid for it, and like it's on the up and up, you know.
Paula D. Ash recently posted something on Facebook about humiliating men, and I'm sure that she will very much appreciate that image.
Nope.
Maybe I'll reenact it at StokerCon.
On a panel, no less.
Yeah. Beckon, this is my assistant Steve here, and I will be
Pass.
Not you, Steve. Or other Steves.
Different Steve.
It's you.
Sure. all right. So your mom was also a fan of horror, you mentioned?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Grandmother was a fan of true crime. Anybody else in the family who were fans of horror?
Not really, no. Everybody else is kind of weenies. It's mostly the women.
Losers.
I know, right?
Did you dress up for Halloween as a kid?
Oh yeah. We went hard for Halloween. I have a couple notable favorites. Probably my biggest favorite was the Mad Surgeon.
Of course.
How apropos.
Yeah, obvious. My mom used to be like a medical transcriptionist, and so she worked at this clinic, and she was able to get like, you know, like a scrub cap, scrub, you know, like a gown and all of that stuff. And then just bloodied me up, painted my face like ghostly white, and then, you know, as you do in the 90s, you get a butcher knife from the knife block and you put some fake blood on it and you let your daughter run around the neighborhood with a legit butcher knife.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I mean, as you mentioned earlier, I do remember this one from the our previous attempt at this interview. And that still just makes me grin. The fact that, yeah, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe it was just more trust in children. Maybe it was simpler times and we didn't think about things as much back then. But you would totally do that. Just like this one. I don't need this one for dinner. Go have fun.
Yeah, like, and like, no, like, don't stab anybody, you know.
Right, that's the totality of the concern and safety protocol, just that one utterance of don't stab anyone, okay?
Just all right, assuming that people won't be stupid.
Yeah, and I didn't stab anyone as far as I recall, although there was obviously a big gap of that night. Well,
that's the other half of that, the other side of that coin is victim shaming. Like, if it happens to you, it's your own fault.
True.
Don't play with a girl with a knife.
Yeah, it's not wise. So I had, the Mad Surgeon. And then I also had a pretty good werewolf costume at one point where she like glued a bunch of fake hair like everywhere. And I was wearing a flannel and like, I don't think I actually like spoke words that night because I like got really into character. So just a lot of growling and whatnot.
Running around on all fours, biting people. Yeah.
Yeah. Just as you do. Normal stuff.
Are we still on Halloween?
Normal Saturday night. Sorry.
It's between you and your wife. any least favorite costumes?
Just like if we didn't have time or something and there was like a school party or something, the standard black cat ears and tail, which I mean, like I'm still down to be a cat like any time. Like I wish I could be a house cat right now, but I like going hard for Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not uncommon. We've had a couple of guests where they just say their least favorite costume was just the one that they didn't necessarily not like, but it was the phone in.
Yeah. That's pretty much what that was.
Any scary dreams or reoccurring dreams when you were a kid?
Yeah. So I grew up Southwest Colorado and it's in like, it's called the San Luis Valley. So there's like a lot of, I think they're dormant or not active volcanoes around there. And yeah, when I learned that, my brain was like, oh God, like one day they're going to erupt and we're going to just all die. So I would just have these dreams where all of them would erupt and I would just get like, you know, killed by lava. And then tornado dreams, oddly enough, like just getting trapped in like a tornado, like hiding in a storm shelter or basement, which it's like, we didn't even have tornadoes in Colorado. Like, why am I even afraid of that?
I was going to say, like, were volcanoes and also tornadoes a thing or?
No, not at all. Mm-mm. Like, I should have tornado dreams now because I live in Illinois, but I do not for whatever reason.
Better knock on wood.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Well, the two things that those both have in common would be, you know, things that are so, you know, overwhelmingly immense that you have no control over them. So, you know, this
part. Oh, yeah. This part. Yeah. As far as dream analysis goes, that's a textbook case of grandiose force beyond your control, powerlessness.
Oh.
Acts of God.
First merger.
Unless there's, you know, some other aspect to it that you're thinking of that we're not picking up on that you haven't mentioned.
It probably is a control issue for sure.
Yeah. You didn't watch Dante's Peak when you were little, did you?
I did. And Twister. Oh, yeah.
Ah, there it is. There it is.
Great, great movies, by the way. You know they're making Twisters this summer.
I saw the preview, and I am actually a bit excited about it. You know, I don't have a lot of faith in movies these days, but that one looks good.
Yeah, I'll probably actually go to the theater to see that one.
Yeah, that's an experience you want to see in the theater.
Yeah, definitely.
Based on the theme, I'm guessing it's not a very high bar, so you're probably right about that.
There's two of them. That's why it's Twisters. They chase two tornadoes in this one. No sharks. There are unfortunately no sharks. Chased
by tornadoes.
Yeah.
So what about teenage years? What jumps out to you in terms of memorable media in your teenage years?
Scream, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The whole opening scene of Scream is just so, like, I don't know. I can't recall a movie that's, like, almost so startling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, yeah, you know, like, oh, here's your boyfriend. Oh, I killed him. Oh, and there's your family. They're driving down the driveway, but I'm just going to murder you and they're not going to notice and it's fine. And also, like, why are we answering phones? Like, we shouldn't even be answering phones anymore.
Well, today, yes, but back then, yeah.
Yeah, and these days, like, yeah, it's so funny watching old movies like that. I notice it and it's like, good God, these days, if you get an actual phone call instead of a text, you look at it like it's a fucking foreign object or extra-dimensional alien or something. What is that? What do I do?
Then you Google the number to be like, all right, who's calling?
I have done that. But no, like back in the day, it was just, oh, the phone's ringing. Hello, who is this? Oh, yeah. A murderer.
You sound sexy.
Tell me more.
Yeah, Scream for sure messed me up. Yeah. I really enjoyed The Craft, but I think that was more of a... I think there's some more sapphic undertones to that, if you want to delve into that. Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. We played... like, I think it was probably like middle school, like high school. We used to play at like sleepovers, like... What was it? Light as a feather, stiff as a board. And it did work one time. It did work, I have to say.
Oh, okay. I believe you.
Yeah.
Anything else? Scream, The Craft?
Final Destination, that airplane scene has ruined me for life.
You know, it's I try and rationalize it as much as I can, but I still cannot help but think of that scene every fucking time I get on a plane.
I know.
Also getting behind car, you know, large trucks with logs on them. Oh, change that forever for everyone.
Yeah. Well, and like part of me is like, I'll know if something bad's going to happen and I'll have this feeling, but like I'm phobic of flying. So like every time I fly, I'm like, we're going to die. So like, I can't even trust my feelings anymore. And I can't even sedate myself not enough to like fall asleep on an airplane. It's awful.
You need more booze.
I've tried. I need like Michael Jackson's doctor who put him in the propofol coma to help me with that.
My first thought was Benadryl because that, you know, I'm one of those people that, you know, Benadryl puts me to sleep. And then I didn't even say it because immediately my first thought was, she's a doctor. I'm sure she knows all this shit already.
Good point.
Benadryl. I've never heard of that one.
Really?
Hmm.
No. Oh. All right. Fine.
But I will take it under advisement.
Yeah, right. All right. So emotional reaction to Scream was startling, at least for the opening. Anything else?
And obviously Neve Campbell, but that's more of a happy memory.
Commonality between that and The Craft.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'll watch anything with Neve Campbell in it. Like, I know this is a horror podcast, but I mean, have you seen Wild Things? My God.
I actually have not, but I have seen the scene that you're probably referencing, and that's good enough.
That's the only scene.
It's actually a good movie.
It is a good movie.
It is.
But yeah, that scene's obviously the best scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank God for YouTube. I didn't need to watch the whole movie. Other than Neve Campbell, what did you like about The Craft?
Ooh, I liked the idea that you could invoke like an outside power to do what you want. Like it's not religion necessarily, like, you know, like Catholicism and things, because I did grow up Catholic, but I liked the idea of like kind of connecting with nature and whatnot. Like, I probably should just dabble in being a Wiccan because it sounds fucking awesome, but I haven't yet.
Right.
Final Destination.
Mm. The idea that you really can't do anything to, I mean, you can, I guess, because he does, he circumvents it, but just the idea that like death is coming. I think it maybe like, it was like a mortality thing. Like, you know, you kind of think that you're invincible for some point, and then I think that was like that stark, like, shit, one day I'm gonna die, and hopefully it's not in the shower with the thing wrapping around my neck like that.
Right.
Definitely does bring to the surface the whole inescapability, for lack of a better term, of death.
Yeah.
Inevitability.
There. Yeah, that's the one.
You were close.
I'm having problems with words now.
Yes. Did you dress up for Halloween in your teens?
I did. It actually came to me after we had done our other chat. One of my favorite costumes was the PMS Avenger.
Okay.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Like, did you guys ever watch that movie Mystery Men? Like, it, Ben Stiller, like, it's a, yeah. So one of them was the PMS Avenger, and I made my costume.
Oh, the characters from that?
I don't know, but I work 3 to 7 days a week, and then I carried around like tampons and threw them at people.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I don't remember this from the movie. It's been a while since I've seen it. Did you do the whole getup with like the red outfit and the cane striped gloves?
I didn't have the gloves. I had a red mask. I had a cape, and then I used that as an excuse to buy like red Adidas shoes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I looked pretty cool. I'm pretty sure though, my pre-Cal teacher, because this was like high school, she was like, "What the fuck are you doing? Like, why are you holding tampons?"
I'm the PMS Avenger. Okay.
Yeah, she's like, oh God, she's not gonna amount to anything.
Right. Did you have any really scary dreams as a teen or reoccurring dreams?
Teeth falling out. a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one. Okay.
Which still can persist now, honestly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was worse then. And then I'd wake up and I'd be like grinding my teeth. Cause you know, like you'd be like grinding them and they'd loosen and then they just fall out. Ugh.
Not pleasant.
No, definitely not.
Let's see. Was there ever a time in your teenage years when you were completely calm or safe or bliss?
Probably going for like long runs and listening to music. Get to zone out. Yeah.
Rolling into adult years. Any particular media jump out to you in your adult years as to stuff that you really liked or influenced you?
As an adult, actually now kind of in residency, I met one of my friends who's also an ER doctor and he's like huge into horror. So he kind of introduced me to things that I hadn't seen previously, like the Human Centipede. Yeah.
Appropriate for a doctor. Yes.
Yeah. He started with one, but we've seen all three of them.
I still have yet to see three. Two is controversial. You know, you love it or you hate it. I thought it was great because they went full with it. I mean, Jesus Christ, the baby under the gas pedal. Like that was where I was just like, okay, you guys are not holding back at all.
Yeah. The three, I like all of them. Three's bananas.
Three looks goofy as fuck.
Yeah. Like it's just, you have to accept that it's weird and disgusting. And
it's like Looney Tunes, a little goofy.
Yeah. Whatever it is, you want to be the first in the centipede. That's all.
You're right.
Yeah, you definitely always want to be the first.
Yeah. So Human Centipede, big one. And then probably like Hellraiser. I made my way through the series. Even the remake I like quite a bit. And then the Saw movies. Love the Saw movies.
Okay. Well, going down the list, you were going to say something, Chris?
I was going to ask if you've seen the most recent Saw.
I did. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was pretty good. It's back to form.
Yeah.
More stupid heads and buckets.
Yeah.
What'd you like about Human Centipede other than the ridiculousness of it?
I think I enjoy movies that have maybe like a little bit of a medical aspect to it. Cause I mean, that guy is a insane surgeon, right? So I think that kind of appeals to me for whatever reason. And then as far as like the Saw movies, I enjoy a good spot of revenge because it's like a moral, like he's doing this because you know, you did this.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It satisfies some sort of weird craving within me to see justice.
Okay, well, if you are a fan of surgical movies and revenge movies, might I suggest American Mary, starring one Catherine Isabel.
Great movie.
Of course you've already seen it.
So good. I love that movie. She's so good.
She is.
Have you guys seen Fresh?
I think so. Is that the one where the guy takes body parts from women and sells them on the black market?
Yep.
It's Sebastian Stan, the Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Fresh was good. I went into it with like mid expectations, like thinking like, this could be good. It could be hokey, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. And it all like that part where he serves her the like meatball. Like, I'm like, oh, that looks really good. But like, ugh.
That actually looks good. Is it bad that it looks good?
Yeah, right. And then now I'm like, damn, I want some like rare steak.
What about Hellraiser?
There's something about the Cenobites that just, they like give me the shivers the way, I can't think of her name, but the one she has like, it almost looks like a trach. Except it's like she has like wires.
Vagina throat.
Yes, vagina throat.
She is known as just the female Cenobite. I don't believe she has a name, but we have also spoken to her on our show. Is Barbie Wilde?
Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, tell her I love her work.
Will do.
What gave you the shivers?
I guess the idea that you know you can call upon these dark forces and you think that you're getting one thing, and then they end up making you become a angel slash demon slash Cenobite thing. Because you see it more. What is it? Is it like the space one where they have like the twins? Or is that not one?
There's so many of them.
I know.
And I think it was the space one. Oh, maybe the detective one where, yeah, there were two cop twins and they...
Yeah, that was the one with the space.
Was it the space one? Okay.
They all run together.
Now that I think about it, yeah, the thing that I watched was like a fan cut that may have mashed two different things together, so maybe it wasn't the same.
Because I don't think there were any detectives.
It was the one where it was the building. Like, the guy was basically building like a version of the cube, but it was a building. He was an architect.
That could have been a couple. No, that could be Bloodlines, because there was the Victorian era. There was a present day timeline in that movie as well. And then there was the future spaceship one. So
because it was,
I think that was Bloodlines.
Because it was a fan cut. I wasn't really clear on whether they were pulling from different movies.
Or if that was the same movie. You watched the work print. Fuck you. I was supposed to get that, but I got Spanish Bloodlines instead.
I don't think it was the work print. It was the link that I shared with you because it was related to that song I was working on. But that's a whole
other
conversation. The Spanish. So does like Pinhead show up and he's like, "Hola."
Yeah. And the default language is Espanol, and English is the third option. Because basically, I ordered the Hellraiser Bloodlines. Work print cut, I think is what they call it, where it's basically supposed to be a re-edit of it, where it was actually originally what the original writer wanted it to be. And that's what I thought I was getting, and what I got was a Spanish region Hellraiser, where everything's in Spanish. I might sit down and watch it one day, just for fun.
You might have to do a couple Duolingo courses, but you'll be ready.
See. They always say that if you want to learn another language, the best thing to do is listen to music and watch movies and, you know, TV shows. So there you go.
Yo hablo español 2 años en la escuela.
You know, well, there's that. But also the fact that you probably are already familiar with it in English would probably help you learn, you know, this means that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Let's see. Halloween as an adult.
Love Halloween as an adult. I work most Halloweens because I think like most of the people I work with have kids. So like they take them trick or treating and whatnot. So I do my standard either black cat ears. Although last year I was a plague doctor, but I didn't have like the full getup. I just had the hat and the mask.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
Maybe a book.
It was a look. It was good. But probably my favorite costumes when I was in med school, I made myself like this Bowser shell out of like an old curtain and I stuffed it with a bunch of, I don't know, stuffing that I got probably from a pillow or something. And, I ended up having a interview in California for residency. So I went out to like West Hollywood, went to the Abbey and almost got into a fight with some random chick. And I don't remember why, but my costume was on point. I was like a slutty Bowser wearing the shit.
Slutty Bowser.
Yeah.
Gotta love that one.
Yeah. That one for sure. And then there was another one where I made a Pikachu costume. Like I made this tail with like wire and yarn. And I definitely skipped a couple classes in med school to make this. So if there's any knowledge gap, it's probably from there.
Any least favorite costumes from your adult years?
Yeah, when I phone it in and do the cat ears again.
Okay. Anything actually terrify you in real life as an adult?
The big one that pops out is continuation of my airplane drama. I was flying to Philadelphia for residency interviews and everything's fine, smooth sailing. And we hit this big bump and I look out the window because I'm on a window seat and the engine on my side is like flaming and like smoking. And the captain's like, "Oh, it's not a very big deal. Everything's fine. Nobody panic. But
the captain is literally the dog beam. This is fine.
Yeah. He's like, no, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Not a big deal. But we're going to be making an emergency landing. So, you know, naturally, I think I'm going to die because why wouldn't you? And this guy sitting next to me, you know, he sees me absolutely losing my shit. And he's trying to distract me. He's like, oh, well, what are you doing? Why are you flying to Philadelphia? And I was like, an interview. And he's like, for what? And I was like, emergency medicine. And he's like, he's like, your hand.
I'm sorry, but
yeah, like, come on.
I can't help but picture you as Tina from Bob's Burgers doing one of her freakouts during this. Like, so what are you in town for? An interview.
No, like, that's what it was. 1,000,000%. And he's like, well, you're handling this emergency really well. And it's like, shut up.
Don't call attention to it. I handle other people's emergencies well, not my own.
Yeah, like, come on.
I think I remember hearing about this. Was this taking off from Colorado?
I think we took off from Chicago.
You probably remember it from the last time we had this conversation.
Yeah.
Probably. No, I definitely remember something in the news about a plane that was, like, taking off. They got as far as taking off the ground. The pilot looks out. He's like, ah, one's on fire. All right, folks, we got to land.
Ah. Well, yeah, and we land in, like, Cleveland, which is, like, yuck, but,
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, listeners from Cleveland.
Sorry, guys, but, I mean, if you're from Cleveland, I think you know.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, oh, we'll rebook you on a plane. I was like, I'm not getting on a fucking plane right now. Give me my bag and give me a rental car. And, like, and then, of course, I have a meltdown at the rental car counter. It was just a whole, thing. And then when I showed up at my inner...
Wait, why did you have a meltdown at the rental?
I think that it was like I was still reeling from the near death.
Oh.
And they were going to like really charge me a lot. So
gotcha.
I kind of manipulated the situation a little bit.
Also, as one you know, does. Shitty situations on planes can turn you salty. Can relate when coming back from overseas with a friend. I think we had a layover in Boston or something, but it was also after being stuck on the tarmac for 3 hours in Turkey because it was so hot that the physics of lift would not work and they couldn't turn on the AC because that would just overheat the plane even more. So yeah, I got a little pissy when we were at the next place, you know, looking for our hotel rental or whatever. Just
yeesh.
Plane.
So, like, it got so hot, physics doesn't work. Like, that's not right.
Yeah, dude, that was, like, a little shocking to hear that. Like, the planes won't actually take off right now because the science that allows them to take off can't work because it's so hot.
Like, oops. Why aren't we teleporting yet? Like, you can't, you know, you can't tell me we don't have the technology. It's out there, I bet you. Have you
seen the fly?
Yeah, I blame Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, you're right. Or that, have you guys read The Jaunt, that Stephen King short story?
Mm-mm.
It's kind of similar. Like, it's like you can teleport like place to place, and they did it because there was like an energy crisis with like oil and whatnot, but they have to like put you under general anesthesia before you teleport, because if you're,
I would hope so.
Yeah. If you're conscious, it's like, you see, it's like a cosmic horror, I guess. Like, you see everything and it drives you insane.
Mm. Oh, okay. So it's like going through the warp without a Geller field.
Yeah.
Did you actually get that? That was a Warhammer reference.
Well, I was just agreeing because it sounded nice.
Okay, yeah. As I expected.
Flipping that question around, was there ever a time in your adult life so far in your adult life that you've felt completely calm or safe or bliss?
Honestly, I probably am happier as an adult than I was as a kid or like a teenager. Like, just hanging out here at my house with the cats and the wife and just fucking around. Like, I'm happy as hell.
It's not a bad life.
No.
Or like writing, you know, like get kind of into that like flow state and you're in the zone.
Mm. There was a question that I failed to ask during the childhood section that we also ask during the adult section. So I'm going to go back and ask for the childhood section first. Yeah, and then I'll ask for the adult section. And these come in pairs because we ask a potentially difficult question first, maybe a negative question, and then we end on the positive. So starting with the childhood section, do you remember the first person that you hurt?
Probably my cousin. Again, we didn't really have like adult supervision a lot. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we would just like ride bikes and throw rocks at each other and playing Mario Kart, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So rock is a shell, obviously. Probably that. Yeah. Some form of physical violence against my cousin.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember the first person you helped?
Again, just maybe because we're talking about my cousin, I recall being on the playground and a girl in my class actually kicked him in the nuts. Ooh. And then she was like probably like a foot taller than me and I punched her in the face. So that was fun. So that was kind of like I helped and also hurt.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I like it. It's a combo.
Yeah. And it was great because like I got suspended, but my mom was like, nah, meh, whatever. Mm.
That was terrible, honey. You should never do that again. That was awesome.
She's like, that was badass.
Got to take care of your relatives.
Yeah, exactly.
Only I can pick on you.
Yeah, only I can throw rocks at you and hurt you.
Yes. Yeah. So now for the adult section, do you remember the last person you hurt?
Maybe a cop out, but probably somebody like a patient at work doing some sort of like procedure that's not pleasant. Mm-hmm. No fisting of any adults.
Why did you bring that up? Like, well,
it's a callback to the rectal foreign bodies.
Oh, yes, no puppetry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not everyone enjoys being a puppet.
No. Some do, though. Some people don't mind it, to be honest with
you. That is true. Well, that's how they got to be in your office.
So you fell, and the shampoo bottle just went in there.
That's a very common one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I'm more of a fan if you're just common. Like, yeah, like I stuck it up there, and it is gone. I'm sorry.
Felt good.
At least we're on the same page. You know, like you're being honest with me. That's a good start. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Flanges.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You should see some of the stuff I had, like, write on discharge instructions. Like, don't put that in your butt.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Isn't there a subreddit for that?
Oh, probably.
Probably. Do you remember the last person you helped?
Probably
the same thing. Yeah.
Right. It's, yep.
I like to harm people by helping them. It's a whole thing.
Right.
No, probably. Helping my wife get ready for our niece's birthday party. Yeah.
Hmm. So the next two questions are not just about horror and it's not any particular time frame. It's your entire life. Do you remember what movie, you have watched maybe more times than any other?
I would probably say Revenge of the Sith. Yeah. Star Wars.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That has not come up, in prior conversation. What do you like about that one?
Well, I enjoy watching Anakin fall to the dark side. Mm-hmm. Just because it's
why is that?
Well, I grew up watching the old trilogy, so I always thought Darth Vader was like pretty badass.
Ah,
so I think just like seeing how he came to be, I found very intriguing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fun origin story for the villain. You don't get that often,
right? Yeah.
And this may be the same answer or could be a different answer, but what would be your favorite movie?
Mm. It goes back and forth between Alien and Aliens, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could probably take a guess as to why. Is there additional context that you would like to add?
I find every stage of the xenomorph process to be terrifying. Like, I think there is probably one of the best movie monsters because you have the gross egg. Mm-hmm. You have the face hugger that, like, I mean, for all intents and purposes, like, face rapes you pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Which creeps me out. Chest burster, awful. You know, xenomorph, also awful, has that tiny little mouth, acid for blood. Yeah, it's the creepiest thing to me.
Okay. Let's see. Do you see any common threads about what kind of horror you like? Cannibalism, occult, metaphysical, psychological?
I do enjoy psychological quite a bit. But if I had to go with like a theme, I really like zombie stuff. Really love zombies.
That has not come up in the call yet. What do you like about zombies?
Kind of combines a lot of my favorite things. So, because most zombie, like plagues or whatever, like it's usually a virus or it's something kind of medical. So I enjoy that aspect. And I find the idea of like, you know, your most treasured loved one, like being turned and you have to take them out. Like it's just,
like the beginning of the Dawn of the Dead reboot.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And like, it just combines a lot of the things I like, cause you know, usually if there's zombies, like you're kind of in an apocalypse situation. So it's like the destruction of society and humans are always the real monster, right? Like all of that.
Yeah. I kind of hate that that's so cliche in so many horror movies sometimes, because it's like, all right, yeah, we're people are the real evil, but it's true. Of all the predators on this planet, we are the worst one. And if something goes sour where human beings are no longer in, you know, control of their faculties and they all just go apeshit, we're fucked.
Yeah. And I'm just waiting for like AI to get like essentially Skynet us, where they're like, what's the worst thing that's happened to the Earth? Oh, humans. Bam.
Yep. You see, we just need to program them with one simple change. Not protect the Earth, protect the people. Fuck the Earth.
Isaac Asimov rules 1, 2, and 3.
They better also be that. Programming them with that in mind.
Right.
So I had mentioned questions that I have added that were inspired by something else that I had seen. This would be one of them. Is there anything that you've never shared in an interview before, but is relevant to the conversation at hand that you feel comfortable sharing now?
That's a new one.
That is a good one. You know, I think we can probably touch on my phobia of geese and how it ties into to zombies. Cause like, Canadian geese swarms, that's like a zombie swarm pretty much. I mean, they're thoughtless, evil creatures. But so again, growing up on the farm, we had a bunch of geese that were like nesting in a field. There was some water and whatnot. And I got in my mind that I wanted a pet baby goose because, you know, why wouldn't you? So I marched my happy ass out there and I'm going to go get myself a goose egg. And naturally,
you're gonna get a goose egg.
So, you know, naturally, I piss off parent geese, so they start chasing me. And so I'm just like running, screaming, zigzagging. Nobody's again watching me, so like I'm gonna die. Like, these geese are gonna catch me and I don't know, peck my eyes out and murder me. So yeah, that I got away, obviously, because I am a very crafty individual.
And because you're alive talking to us now, I mean, geese would absolutely murder you if you didn't get away.
Yeah. I actually think that probably like our farm dogs got involved. I think that maybe they helped save me.
Cut them off in the pass.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But geese are like total douchebags.
They are.
I mean, you're going for their eggs.
Well,
come on. Like, they can't spare one egg.
They're still assholes. Like, other birds, you go after their eggs, they'll make some noise, they'll peck at you. A geese will follow you. A goose, whatever.
A geese. Yeah. Like, they will assault you. Like, they don't even care.
Yes.
Also, fun fact, I just recently learned about Canadian geese. Apparently, they are not local to Canada. They were named after someone whose last name is Canadian.
Really?
I would want to research that. That does not.
I didn't actually fact check that before regurgitating that. Damn it! I blame social media.
Yes. I mean, they do overwinter up north, or not overwinter, but because they winter in the south, not the north. Yeah, actually, now that you mentioned that, I do remember that coming up in a previous our previous interview where you mentioned that there was this connection between being chased by geese, you know, analogy to being chased by zombies, which was rather amusing.
They're pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, right. So this would be the part of the interview where we would summarize what has come up so far and give you a chance to either correct us if we're wrong or add more context. The things that really, basically it's a power thing. I mean, on multiple levels. I mean, everything from aliens and the chestburster and Ripley and the loader being powerful, you know, eye for an eye, the daughter being raped on the phone is lack of power. Erupting volcanoes and tornadoes, lack of power. Teeth falling out of in your dreams, that's typically a lack of power thing if you research that. Saw revenge and justice, that is, you know, having power over the people that have hurt you. Revenge of the Sith, and of Anakin falling to the dark side. His story is a story about power to save the ones that he loves. Zombies and the apocalypse, lack of power. So like, they just multiple levels, even the germaphobe thing, you know, there's something that you're in some ways powerless against other than maybe, you know, antibacterial stuff. But, you know, just I mean, this is all reasonable. It's not something that we haven't heard before. It's very common for particularly women, because there's that what's the word I'm looking for, you know, women are often raised to be very aware of their surroundings and to be aware of what's going on around them, because men physically typically are stronger. And so there's that. But in your case, it's interesting that you also have these for lack of a better word, fascinations with powers that aren't even related necessarily to that. Like, for example, the germs and stuff like that. So like, it has nothing to do necessarily with the gender roles or anything like that. It's just a general thing, if that makes sense. Do you think that's an accurate statement is a summary of your, for lack of a better word, what you get out of horror? Or do you think there's more to it than that, that we haven't touched on?
No, I think that is pretty accurate, because yeah, like you said, looking back at most of the things that really like trigger me, it is like an absolute power thing. Mm. I honestly think that to an extent, that's in a way why I became like an ER doctor. Like growing up, like I was like, I want to be able to like intervene and fix things. So like, again, mm-hmm. reclaiming power again.
You're a little bit of a control freak, ain't you?
Yeah, kind of. But like, oddly enough, as far as like anxiety kind of stuff, like if it's like something I can't really do much about as far as like politics or, you know, like things going on in the world, I'm just like, meh, why worry about that? It's not a big deal. But then, but then I'm on an airplane and I know like I don't have any control or power over that, but I'm having an absolute like, you know, 7-hour panic attack. So.
And here I was about to say, you're like probably the one person who has mastered the Serenity Prayer, but no, you're right. There's the airplane thing. You're getting there.
So the more, I'm trying to think how to phrase this. The further you go in reclaiming your own power, whether it's being a doctor or learning kung fu or, you know, whatever area you decide to go in, the more you know about it, you also learn what you can't control. Like there's that, they talk about the Dunning-Kruger effect, and you know, you're not smart enough to even know what you don't know kind of thing. Like the more you know, the more that you know that you don't know. And so
know thy enemy.
Well, the dividing line becomes clear. You can say, okay, I definitely know that I can control this part of it. And then okay, maybe I can't control that, but the dividing line is much clearer. Whereas if you don't have any education in that area, you don't know anything, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's true. So I know the things that I need to not worry about, and then the ones that I need to worry about, and then the ones that, I have no control over, like the airplane thing. I just have to accept that I'm going to lose my shit for a few hours, and it is what it is. I've thought about going to like a hypnotist, but then that brings in its whole thing.
A separate power struggle.
Exactly. It's exhausting. It's exhausting being me. Yeah. It's all like, I want to be the dictator, but I can't. I can't do it.
So having drilled down onto this power struggle part of it, why horror? Because isn't it possible to, you know, dig into these types of power struggles and issues in other genres?
Yeah, because I do enjoy, like, I like thrillers and things. So it's not like I'm a complete horror hound, but I don't know. I guess I find it comforting in an odd way just to watch people, yeah, either reclaiming their power or acquiescing to it. And again, it's like a blueprint. Like, if I watch all of these things, if I'm ever confronted with this thing in real life, I'll know what to do.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got to watch all the shark thriller movies.
In case I ever come across one. Yeah, you're right.
You know, what if you're attacked by a shark at SeaWorld? What if you're attacked by a shark while you're on a plane? What if you're stuck out on a rock and it's okay because you're Blake Lively? So, you know, you got that going for you.
That's true. Yeah. I need to watch all the shark movies now. You're right. Shit.
Well, one thing that hasn't really come up too much in the call, which also potentially relates to you being a doctor, was, you know, going all the way back to being raised on the farm and poking these dead animals with the sticks and, you know, there being some sort of, I don't want to say insensitivity, but
desensitization.
Yeah.
Yeah. Desensitization towards, shall we say, the realities of life and death and, you know, the mortal coil and, you know, the meat on the ground, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that potentially could play into how you perceive things and interact with things as well.
True. Yeah. I've actually heard, I can't remember if it was like a therapist or somebody that said that, but they said that people that tend to like self-select to like work in the ER, they usually had some sort of like childhood trauma that they want to have control of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah. And like you do, you have to learn how to compartmentalize because, you know, you'll be in the middle of a shift and you have somebody that codes that comes in that dies. You have to talk to the family and it's like the worst day of somebody's life and you have to come back out and just go see the runny nose in the next room. You know, you have to be able to like shut it off and on.
Worst day of their life, not yours.
Yeah, exactly. Like those people aren't going back to work or anything and I have to go and
you do have to.
I have to go see the guy that stuck a golf ball up his ass or whatever, you know. A real hole in one, if you will.
You got jokes.
I'm all right. I don't want to brag, but I did win most witty in high school. Not most likely to succeed. Most witty.
I think it's better.
Agreed.
I think it's better.
I agree. Mm.
Pros and cons. Is there anything that you have thought of that you didn't get a chance to say? Maybe something came up earlier in the conversation and then took a left turn. You didn't get a chance to say it.
No, nothing that's really popping out.
Okay. Well, we very much appreciate the conversation. It was great talking to you.
Yeah.
We will put together a bio page for you and link to whatever it is that you would like to link to. So we will follow up with you offline to get, you know, pictures for slideshows and links and put together the bio page and all that kind of stuff. So anybody who wants to find out what you're currently working on can go there. Other than that, do you want to share again what you're currently working on?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm working on that, the Fatal Mind novel, which I'm hoping that I'll have some advanced review copies available at StokerCon, so we'll see.
Okay.
I am also currently working on a short story about a child molester that gets brutally murdered, so there's that.
We always love to see that.
Yeah, fuck them.
The second part.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, just yesterday or the day before, I did have a short story come out in Hellbound Books' Serial Encounters anthology, which is like casual encounters with serial killers.
Hmm.
And I tackled Eileen Wuornos.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The hitchhiking hooker.
That's it. Yep. I always, I think it was maybe the monster movie. I always enjoyed her story.
I enjoy anything with Christina Ricci in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We could go on about that.
It's a whole other podcast.
Cool. Well, again, thank you for your time. And thank you to anybody out there listening. Please do come follow us at horrormixeshappy.com. Got a list of different people that we have talked to there, people that we'd like to get in touch with, merch. You can support us on Patreon. If nothing else, tell a friend. And
please support us on Patreon. We want to be those assholes that list off like 85 Patreon names at the end of every episode. I want to reach that status.
Yes. I mean, I guess while we're talking about that really quickly, just to touch on that, you know, there are things that we would like to be able to do that would help us out with. I mean, we are, for the last year now, we have had, you know, 10 plus people on the guest list that we would like to, that, you know, we have penciled out because, you know, I do all the editing and all the social media stuff and all that kind of stuff that we really couldn't interview people any faster because there's all this other background work that needs to take place. And so if we could hire somebody else to do the editing or do the social media, you know, potentially we could look at maybe going to a weekly basis or having a second podcast where, you know, one of the things that I've thought about is asking prior guests to come back and talk about other things that they're currently working on. Yeah. Because I mean, the stuff that we talk about here, like in this particular podcast, we've already gone through this. So there's really no reason to call somebody back and be like, do you want to go through it again? Cause like we've already talked about it, but it would be nice to be able to come back and say, okay, what are you currently working on? Or how has our prior conversation informed some of the things that you're doing today? Like there's other stuff that could be done, but it wouldn't necessarily be in the same format as what we're doing here. And you know, there's avenues, but we're restricted right now because of how much work that we have to put into doing this. So, you know, if we could get some Patreon subscribers, then potentially at some point in the future, maybe we might be able to hire somebody to help us out with some of the things. And that would maybe open us up to being able to do more. So that would be really cool if you could do that.
Yeah. Spread the word.